donated. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please. Got
no bread. Welcome, my friend, to the second hour of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. This is shaping up as a very interesting program. We've been focusing in on one particular party who asked a question that I think could lead to some very educational material, because we sure don't spend enough time discussing being a plaintiff and taking the holder in due course and confessed successor sureties and liable parties, whether they be clerks of courts, judges, presidents of banks, CFOs, marshals, directors of marshal services, directors of agencies. We don't spend enough time bringing them in to testify in their own venue. They're not happy to do that either, folks. But tonight, we're discussing that. We're going to be point blank about how we might do that. So, welcome, Norman. Let me just say a very brief reminder. If you'd like to attend the Law Merchant Leadership Retreat, October 11th to October 15th, this extravaganza, if it's even half as good as what we just completed, then by all means, send an email to Roberta T, as in Thomas, at hush.com, and she'll send you out a registration form. If you would like to attend the two-day, that's a five-day conference, folks, but we're also offering a two-day free collecting in bankruptcy seminar for those who would like to understand how to operate both as a debtor and a creditor in the bankruptcy court. Well, that's being held September 15th and 16th, a Friday and a Saturday, just a month away, and you would have to contact Sam's free seminar at hush.com, and who's ever manning that, most often it's Roberta, but not always, would take care of you there and handle the registration process there. So anyway, we're here with Norman. We only have a couple of minutes till the next break, and then we'll have a long period of time to discuss the issue of how one would bring a public official into their own venue to testify, perhaps by filing a complaint or other document, let's say in United States District Court, State Supreme Court, Appellate Division, could be anywhere, really. But let's just focus in on United States District Court. First of all, if it was me, Norman, I'd be looking to bring in a confession of judgment. Now, confession of judgment traditionally is a negotiated, stipulated settlement, as is just about everything in the public. But it's a publicly visible stipulated settlement that people enter into most often with credit card companies because they have a judgment, either a judgment pending against them, or they're about to lose, or some calamity, and they don't want to be liable for the whole amount right away. So they may negotiate a settlement, maybe a few bucks down, and also terms of payout. And the attorney brings that into court. Any attorney can bring that in because it's a stipulated settlement. They bring it to the clerk of court in many states, probably most. The clerk can sign off on that without a judge. It's a stipulated settlement. Isn't that what they're there to do? The law is the law of the contract. And they bring in a document, one paragraph saying judgment by confession. And basically it says, upon the reading and filing of the attached affidavit, the judgment sum set forth in the confession of judgment of whatever it is being executed. And the clerk would sign that, and attached to that would be a copy of a true bill or a statement from the attorney, total damages, a statement for judgment, basically. And then an affidavit for confession of judgment in which the confessed party is stating that I confess judgment in this court pursuant to whatever rules it might be in New York. It's Section 3218, I believe, of the civil practice laws and rules. So that's the mold for what one would do with a confession of judgment. You're basically just looking to get that court stamp so that the sheriff will enforce. We'll pick this up after the break, folks.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar powered generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000 watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
Insert dollars only, please. Welcome back, my friends. I guess it's all about money, isn't it, when you talk about the United States? You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic, the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. You know, we heard a commercial at the beginning of the second hour for Republic Trading. And let me emphasize, folks, most of you are probably aware of this, that in 1789, as I recall, $1 purchased a steak dinner for two. And in 1911, $1 purchased a steak dinner for two and a half, because the natural economic trend is modest deflation as the cost of producing capital goods reduces, as the cost of equipment is paid off, as capital expenses are eliminated. Now, of course, that's a simplification, but nonetheless, if you look at a chart of inflation within the United States, you'll find out there was none. Until the passage, of course, of the Federal Reserve Act. You want to have fun at a Rotary meeting, you bring that point out. If you happen to have someone speaking, a politician speaking, and you ask them, were you aware, sir, of two facts? Number one, that the first executive order was issued by Lincoln after Congress disbanded and he had to take monarchy powers. Are you aware of that? as a congressman, are you aware of that? And secondly, are you aware that there wasn't a dollar of inflation prior to 1913? And what are you doing about it? I like to start those conversations also by saying, excuse me, sir, you know, I appreciate this fine speech you gave. You mentioned democracy, I think, 81 times. If you happen to know the difference between a democracy and a republic, that gets their attention, too. You will see his face go sheet white. Anyway, we're talking with Norman from Virginia about how one might bring a notary judgment into United States District Court. Right, Norman?
Yes.
All right. So I said, and we have a lot of time to explore it now, that I would go in by way of confession of judgment. And before the break, we discussed how confession of judgment is normally operated in the fiction. A simple one-page, one-paragraph pleading called judgment by confession, attached to which is basically a true bill or statement of the account, and an affidavit for confession of judgment. Confession of judgment. Think about that term, my friends. Someone has stipulated to the plea bargain. That's all it is.
Right.
So we have a program for developing confession of judgment. But it is not an affidavit. It's a document we call Schedule C, Confession of Judgment, which lists two parties. The party of the first part would be the living man creditor, and the party of the second part is the party that is holding the liability. And that would be all the third-party defendants slash successor sureties slash fiduciaries on the payment instrument. By the way, before I forget, Norman,
yes.
Before I would even consider doing anything in the public, I would give it over to Treasury by way of Treasury liquidation. And I would make the CFO or whomever the party of the bank is aware that that process is about to begin. And I probably, this is me, and I'm not recommending this to anyone,
yes.
But I would probably show them a proposed draft copy of a 1099, and I would request a W-9 for them, from them, so that I can file that 1099-C, form 1099-C, which is cancellation of debt. I would forgive their debt to me by way of that instrument that they're holding, and I would file it as a taxable gain for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, folks, that may fall on deaf ears now, but if 10,000 people did that, and our favorite collection agency, when calling on 10,000 bonded promissory notes, 50,000, 500,000, a million, 10 million, 100 million, and sought the taxable tribute, which those taxable gains trigger, people would be listening to us at the beginning of the process instead of having to learn the hard way that CID or IRS or Treasury is coming calling to collect, and it's being collected out of the surety on the commercial liens account, which could be a public hazard bond or county funds or something of that sort. Once it happens to them once and you go to the replacement party, I can guarantee you that they will accede to your request. Hi, I'm the guy who filed the whatever it was that triggered that. And here's what we need done this time. Now, those are not risk-free procedures, because any time a public official is involved in such a procedure, they're not going to be happy about it, and they may not take it lying down, and they may turn around and give criminal charges for one to have to accept and return and continue the process. And it can take Treasury 12 to 18 months to turn around on these things. We've seen easily an 18-month lag time when we ask IRS to collect. So that's why sometimes public procedures are necessary. More importantly, that's why wisdom and judgment are needed before one decides to get involved in this kind of nonsense. We have to think carefully the risk factors. Is this something that I feel strongly enough about to undertake. And if you don't do it, my friends. Norman, does that sound like reasonable advice? Honestly, don't patronize me.
No, I won't patronize you one bit. What is imperative is a lot of homework. Homework, homework, homework.
I like what you're saying, Norman.
I'm a strong advocate of knowledge is power. When one takes on BIC, the major factor is the more you become informed, the more it's not about, you know, what you think and what somebody else may say. As you said at one time, you know, people said, well, you know, it didn't work, this, that, and the other. The reason why is, first of all, it's because of lack of homework, and second of all, it's because of being surrounded with a whole lot of negativity. And
boy, that's interesting you mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I had a discussion with someone today about the intense negativity being brought to the situations and to their own lifestyle decisions, in fact. Negativity can be, if you come in with a negative attitude, you can count on being unsuccessful. Isn't that true?
Yes, very. What makes one more positive is when you do your homework and you can visually see how this law applies and how it works. And, you know, what's also important is that one learns how to govern themselves. And this is the major problem that a lot of people are having, is that they let the government govern them, as opposed to, if you know your government, if you know what you can do and what you cannot do, and if you can basically support that with the Constitution, with the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, public policy, House Joint Resolution, if you can get into doing your homework on that, for whatever your situation might be, you know, you feel very comfortable and very relaxed about, okay, you know, Mr. Prosecutor, Judge, how can you go against this? This is on the books.
Well, that sounds like very good advice to me, and I agree with you 100% without reservation.
Yes.
That one needs to gain confidence through knowledge and feel that through their practice and activities and their group efforts and singular studies have gained the skills to be able to handle whatever may come down the track. That confidence will come from that. And then once you have that, then giving it up to the Lord and trusting that He will provide the words when you need them. The people who do that, Norman, I find are the most confident in the courtroom and in hearings and other stressful settings. They don't even have a doubt that they will be successful. The doubts are eliminated from their mind by the strength of the Lord.
Right. If you will, my wife had a situation with it was a traffic situation. And so my wife had asked the gentleman, the officer, sir, is it possible that you can show me your bond and in some kind of way, show your oath of office or make it possible that I can, you know, that I can see that you,
right.
You know, you're up.
I want to know who I'm dealing with in this circumstance. So I need to see your credentials, and your credentials are your oath and your bond. Do you have any objection to that?
Right. So he says, well, my oath and my bond is right here. And he pointed to his shield.
Right.
Make a long story short, he's in court right now trying to explain. Well, he hasn't even explained because he hasn't answered up an affidavit.
All right, well, let me interrupt you here because we have music in the background. We're coming up to a break, and we'll want to stay on point here as well. Folks, you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Please join me after the break.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Welcome back, friends.
Welcome to America. Glad you
you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're having an interesting program, an interesting discussion. I'd like to continue on Confession of Judgment. And just a couple of other things I may have forgotten to mention. As I mentioned at an earlier break, there was a commercial advertisement for Republic Trading. And we also pointed out that there hasn't been a dollar of inflation prior to 1913. And now, of course, we all know that the dollar that in 1913 would have bought a steak dinner for 2.5, well, I actually had to buy dinner for someone last night, and it was $60. So we understand what's been going on. You might want to check out Republic Trading, especially if you're seeking to acquire or trade in gold. I believe they handle silver as well, but I know for gold you can avoid an awful lot of the broker's fees and other things from Republic Trading, and it helps support this great network. Again, we have the Law Merchant Leadership Retreat being offered October 11th through the 15th. That's a 5-day and night extravaganza to immerse yourself in BIC technology, and you can apply to attend. It's by invitation only at samsfreeemail@hush.com. And now I'd like to take us back to the topic of filing a case in United States District Court or any other venue as a plaintiff, how we might handle it. What I was saying before the break, Norman, was that I would be filing, if it was me, I would be filing a self-executing confession of judgment. This is a document that we use, which, as it says, in fact, let me read you the end of it if I can find it somewhere here. It says, this confession must be affixed to a certificate of non-performance duly uttered by notary public whomever in official capacity upon the non-performance therein described and herein confessed. What this is a two-party document. The living man would be the party of the first part, and the party of the second part would be all of the dishonored fiduciaries and third-party defendants and successor sureties who are holding the instrument and have failed to properly adjust the books. Unlike the affidavit for confession of judgment, in which the confessing party confesses to the liability and the obligation to pay the liability, in this case, we state the facts just like an affidavit for confession of judgment, but it's the party of the first part who signs the document, indicating that these facts are true. It's still a confession of judgment, but it's the party of the first part not signing in capacity as the party of the second part, just attesting to the contents of this document. And then it's attached as page 2 very often to the notary certificate stipulating that they were warned, the respondents were warned that their failure to respond or insufficiency of response would comprise their confession of judgment. So the notary isn't saying this is a confession. The notary is saying they were warned that their failure to respond would be a default judgment / confession of judgment. And this has a lot of potency in the public. This would be one of my primary exhibits. This would come in as Exhibit B right after the notary's certificate having been filed in a county venue and pulled back out. So having public notice having been made and being stamped with the county clerk stamp. Another way, confession of judgment, if the intention would be to slide this under the nose of a clerk at United States District Court or a state court and have them sign off on it just like they do any other confession of judgment. So the cover page for this would probably say, you want to guess, Norman?
No, I better not mess it up. I'll let you go ahead.
Judgment by confession. Just like we reviewed that one little paragraph pleading, judgment by confession. And the paragraph would say something like, there is no defect in the attached certification of the confessed party's stipulation to the confession. Or something very similar to what a standard judgment by confession would say. And if you want to find one, look in your county records. There will probably be hundreds of them there, from people who made deals with attorneys that were suing them. Another way we could go about this process that's crossing my mind is we could disguise our confession to look like their standard procedure. Take the whole thing and attach it to an affidavit of an affidavit for confession of judgment, and maybe have the notary sign that as a witness to the notary's own process. And then staple to that would be the exhibits of the notary's certificate filed in the county and certified copy taken back out and the confession of judgment document. I guarantee if 1,000 of these were done in state courts around the land, a certain percentage of them would receive the seal of the clerk without going any further. And you'd have your remedy in hand, because then you're going to ask for a writ of exigency or something of that sort, just file in that they have defaulted on the terms of the judgment and take it to the sheriff for collection. Folks, we're going to pick up this topic after a 3-minute break. This is just getting interesting. There's half a dozen ways that you can get a court stamp on your notary's judgment and go to collect.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Welcome back, my friend. You're listening to Take No Prisoners. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and this is the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to start to kick it into high gear because I want to cover this topic and still take some more calls. Norman,
Sam,
one can go in with a simple complaint followed by a petition in the nature of a motion for summary judgment and put it in the way we discussed earlier with a simple negative averment saying there's no defect that we can identify in these records, so we want the summary judgment. Another way one can go in is with a complaint, with a confession of judgment attached to it, and we've sort of reviewed some of those documents here. Now, let me say this, based upon this discussion, the same way at this last Law Merchant Leadership Conference that was just passed this past week, we spent an entire day talking about commercial liens and how to perfect them and monetize them and use them for leverage. We're going to spend quite a bit of time on the fifth day talking about filing as a plaintiff in these cases and doing it entirely in public policy using confession of judgment and self-executing powers of attorney. And we can have a lot of fun doing that. So we can go in with a complaint again, but using confession of judgment as our main point, seeking summary judgment. We can go in and do what's called a summary judgment in lieu of complaint. However, if they deny the summary judgment, then you don't have a complaint standing in the court, but you are still in the court, and you can have all kinds of fun in there. We could take this thing right to the clerk, as I mentioned, without a complaint, and just filing a judgment by confession. A one-paragraph pleading, folks, if you can imagine that. Now, how many of you would like to resolve your cases with a one-paragraph pleading and not even have to bring those guys in to testify? We can go in with a complaint, and instead of a petition for summary judgment, which would be preferable, I might add, to what I'm about to mention, we could just go in and attach a demand for a bill of particulars, which is actually a very specific rules of procedure allotment that is provided for in the special rules for certain maritime and admiralty cases. And you can look those up on the web. I think it may be Rule C, maybe C4, C5, something like that. I forget the numbers, but I believe it's under Rule C, maybe D or E. But basically, they're telling you you could attach a demand for a bill of particulars, which is another way to bring them in to testify without the summons, especially if you're haggling with the clerk and over summonses. And always, always, always submit an affidavit of informa pauperis. We had one that a very fine fellow sent to me who brought it up at the conference. He stood right up. This is the kind of information that was exchanged. One that he's used various times without a hitch, in which he uses the double vertical slash dollar sign instead of the single, filed as a living man. I have no income. I have none of this stuff, because you have no money, no real money in their system. And not once has any of his complaints or other pleadings he's put in when he goes to start a case been turned away by a clerk of court. You would not want to do these under Federal Reserve notes. So, Norman, I hope all of that information is helpful to you.
Yes.
And I'm going to move this thing along to a couple of other calls, if you don't mind. But
Let me invite you, Norman,
if you'd like to attend the conference, by all means contact Roberta, because I think a guy with your knowledge and perseverance would do very well with the complete information. And it's people like you in whose hands we want to place this mentorship, and we keep expanding the amount of material that we cover. So you had a parting shot here?
Yes. Before we leave, I know time is of the essence. Is there an internet community that I can enter into and interact with?
Why don't you send me an email personally? There are some links. I don't have them handy, and we're too close to the end of the program to cover them. But you send me send an email to RobertaT@hush.com and just ask for the Sam Kennedy study links, and she'll send them out to you.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you for joining me, Norman. I appreciate the contribution you made to freedom.
You're welcome.
So,
thank you.
Art in Washington, are you there?
Well, hello.
Hello, Art. Thanks for joining us. What can we do for you?
I have a question about I'm beginning the BIC process, and I've been under garnishment for 2 years, more than 2 years.
And you want to turn that off?
I want to turn it off. I've just recently been thinking, I wonder if I were to file bankruptcy, it would stop it.
Well, bankruptcy certainly is one way to get an intervention as quickly as possible. And that means no creditors can act against you, act against your straw man, once you file the bankruptcy action. So you would give notice to all parties, including the parties performing the garnishment and the parties who are relinquishing your property to the garnishment. And there is an art to being in bankruptcy. Some fellow at the conference we just held, Art, mentioned, I think this was actually on the radio, because we came live Sunday night a week ago, so I guess it's been a week since we were embroiled in the conference. And some fellow brought up that issue. I think it was live, but it may have been off radio also. where he said, well, now I find myself in the corner in bankruptcy. And I just looked at him and said, that's exactly where I'd want to be. Because that's a forum where we can monetize what we want. That court exists to take the debtor's assets and distribute them to creditors, provided the creditors can prove up on a proof of claim and a proof of loss. Now, isn't that where I'd like to be, especially if I've assigned over a $5 million liability as personal property to the debtor? And now that has to be liquidated to pay off the creditor. And I may be a creditor in there. I may be first in line creditor. There may be other friendly creditors, too, who have bona fide priority security instruments against the debtor. So you see that it's a place where we can have quite a bit of fun, in my opinion. Well, it must be fun because you're laughing. It's probably the first time you've had a good laugh in a while if you've been garnished for 2 years, my poor man.
Well, it's hard to laugh.
Well, you're doing it, so maybe things can turn around. Might I suggest, Art, I know it's hard when you're in the garnishment, but you get yourself out east to the conference because, or, you know, do the best you can out there. If you can't, study the programs, hook up with a mentor. But the point is that once we've paid these things off, if I'm going to pay a promissory note on behalf of a liability, that's the end of it from my end. I won't pay twice. Excuse me, are you telling me that I have to pay the liability twice? Well, that instrument's no good, sir. Good. Now I have them to make the presentment. They're making the offer. Oh, it's no good. Well, why don't you step down? Let's put you on a stand and find out if you have first-hand knowledge about that which you just attempted to testify. Do you happen to have a certificate of dishonor or a notice of dishonor or a certificate of protest? Did you happen to bring a banker here to testify to the fact that the instrument's no good? Is there anyone here at all, or are you just winging it? Because I'd like to give you the opportunity to take the stand to disprove the presumption, which has already been certified, that you stole the funds. That's what the opportunity I'd like to grant them out of the swelling of my heart. Everybody gets an opportunity to prove up. You see how it works, Art?
Yes,
you got me in my nasty mood, Art.
It's the call it a thumbnail sketch of what's happening because I need to do a lot of studying.
You need to get up to speed if you want to take control of it. That's right. But you do see that it is possible to take control of it because once that obligation is paid, and if they don't back off, then I will send my collectors after them, and that will be Treasury, and that will be IRS. And if they're not quick enough to the punch, I just gave us, what, four or five methods we could pop into federal court with simple pleadings, a one-paragraph pleading, and garnish them, bring them in to testify under oath. Criminal risks if they lie under oath, Federal False Claims Act, and all kinds of things that can be wielded to keep them honest. Because if they want to go rogue and go against public policy, their own law, they'd better watch out, because I am going to bring them in to testify in some form, and they're not going to like it. So, Art, if you can, honestly, get yourself out east. Send Roberta an email. Send me an email. Tell me about your situation. Let's bring you out here and start studying this. You would have 2 months to prepare by listening to these programs and joining study clubs. That could, in 3 months, you could walk away and say, I know exactly what I'm doing. In fact, you can perfect those papers at night while you're at the conference.
Currently, I'm completing the Declaration of Political Status and several other steps that one of
good.
The groups...
Don't obsess on the Declaration of Political Status. It's just a tool we include in some of our procedures to give them a flavor of their own colorable jurisdictional kinds of arguments. What we're really saying in my comprehensive process, what I like to do, Art, is I like to say to them, I am returning, not refusing, I am returning process to you, accepted for value, as you have no legal authority to issue it, but nonetheless I've accepted it and issued full payment. With full payment and a full conversion of liability to you, my friends. And you better watch out, because in 10 days I'm coming knocking on your door.
All right. I'm working with, I think it might be Roberta P.
Okay, well, you don't have to say more on the air. Those are competent people, and they can guide you. Those are very good people.
Yeah,
so keep working, but they will tell you first thing to, if you can, to get yourself out here. This was an extraordinary experience. This exceeded the first one by miles, and the first one was spectacular.
Would you
hope to see you out here. Yeah.
Would you suggest that I do or do not file bankruptcy just to stop the process while I'm moving forward with paying through BIC?
I would never give you a direct answer to a question like that. I can't tell you what to do.
I understand.
But what I can say is that for people who are jammed up, if they want to learn to master bankruptcy, then either talk to your mentors or get yourself out here for the free conference in September next month. That's what it's about. We will dissect in 2 days. We're not going to charge a penny. We'll give you the CD free of charge. I want to do this for people. I need to do this for people. And we will show you all the tricks and trades of how one might consider going into that bankruptcy forum confidently. But that's just a delaying tactic unless you have a perfected administrative process. If you have a commercial lien, you go into bankruptcy to get paid and collect. Here are my assets, Mr. Trustee, and I am bonding you up at the same time. You're holding full liability. You had better collect or don't expect to be a trustee for long. Now, we don't do it with that kind of attitude, but we let them know what's up. The corollary to that is, if I'm jammed up like you and I don't have good process underway and I don't have a perfected security interest, either in my straw man and know how to enforce that, or in someone else by way of a commercial lien, then I would go into bankruptcy just to delay things if it was me.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
It does very much.
Good. I hope to meet you at some time, Art.
I will find out more about the September conference.
Yeah, I hate seeing people in the situation you're in. I deplore it, and I will do everything in my power, ladies and gentlemen, to see it comes to an end. 10,000 of these cases filed, and watch things change. Thank you, Art.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Sam, I don't know where you're located. Are you out there? Sam, are you still on the phone?
I had this scenario. I was helping an 85-year-old woman had a life estate. She had the life estate from a will that got probated in 1992.
Okay.
And the remainder man went into Chapter 7. It was a fraudulent bankruptcy because some of the assets were not even listed.
Nothing new there. Nothing new there, Sam. We see that kind of nonsense all the time.
Yeah. So the bankruptcy court sued her in an adversary proceeding and wanted to liquidate.
Who filed bankruptcy?
The remainder.
Now, time is short, so we really have to move along. Who filed bankruptcy?
The remainder man.
Okay.
Are you familiar?
And they did an. Was it a voluntary or involuntary bankruptcy?
It was a voluntary Chapter 7.
Voluntary and, Chapter 7.
And the bankruptcy made an asset out of a contingent asset because she's got a life estate and she has a remainder, man. And
mm-hmm.
It only goes to them when she dies. But,
okay.
We're trying to expedite it and liquidate it. And they had a judgment and, they repossessed the house and re-evaluated her life estate at $300,000, which was undervalued. And
yeah, of course. They took over her contract. So what's your question, Sam?
My question is, how could she get it back? I was trying to get UCC-1s and get the security lien perfected under the...
Well, first of all, I commend you for trying to help an elderly woman. I have seen more than my share of people in their 80s evicted from their properties and sent to prison. And you judges out there who have conscious awareness of what you're doing, those who don't understand commerce, who don't know we're in commercial law, fine. We will be happy in our own way to bring you along and show you how public policy works. But those who know and allow this to happen on the back of a disguised legal fiction, you should be ashamed to go home and eat dinner with your family and visit your own mother that night. Shame on you. And we are going to stop you. In my lifetime or the one after, we are going to stop you. So I commend you for what you're doing. How long ago was the property taken from her?
It was just this June 6th. And
You can reopen this. Let me interrupt you and talk fast. You can put anything you want to reopen it. A petition to void judgment, a petition to reconsider, and get that thing back open. In the meantime, you're perfecting your administrative process, and I would do that with a commercial lien. Stick with me, Sam. We'll pick this up after the break. Folks, you're listening to a very testy Sam Kennedy tonight. I must have eaten the wrong food. Or maybe just the right topics were brought my way. Please join me after the break.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back, my friend. You're listening to a very testy, irascible Sam Kennedy tonight. I've been pulled onto topics that really are address my core values, and I think I want to readdress one of them here and also answer Sam's question. First of all, Sam, we only have a minute here, so let me just tell you, there are many ways to reopen something publicly, but you really have to find your solution on the private side. That's my feeling. So I would be, if it was me, I would be filing indemnity bonds and building up the revenues that I need deposited into the United States Treasury for me to draw on behalf of this hopefully worthy senior citizen who's under duress. I wouldn't worry about any of the facts of the case or any of that stuff. If I want to reopen the case, I'd go in with a petition for a void judgment. They'll turn it down, but you'll be back in. And you would time that to coincide then with when you've perfected your administrative judgment to bring in to reopen the scenario. And the administrative judgment I would bring in would be a commercial lien. We covered that heavily at the meeting. Certainly I can't, and we've been covering that the last 5 or 6 weeks on this program, maybe 3 or 4 weeks. Download the previous programs as best you can from the archive, Sam, and get a heads up on commercial lien if you have interest in that area.
Well, I did.
Commercial liens are not without risk. One has to know what they're doing in utilizing a lien. They're sometimes more dangerous on the private with private parties than they are with government officials. So keep that in mind. But I would seek it on the private side, and I would put it into Treasury, and I would, if necessary, involve IRS directly by way of 1099s and other methods. We have quitclaim deeds and assignments and using our UCC-1s, quitclaiming commercial liens over and then assigning the whole thing over to them to enforce. That's all I can say on it, Sam. Thanks for joining me. If you have further questions, email me at takenoprisoners@hush.com. Thanks very much for joining me and for being patient on the line. Folks.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome, Sam.
Yeah.
Folks, Let me say this. You have to disconnect, Sam. Let me say this, that all you judges out there who think you are filled with power, if you wield that power with morality and divinity, we welcome you. But how can you, in good conscience, even though you don't consciously know that you exist to enforce security interests, which is what you are doing, how can you, if you have that consciousness, choose that security interest over that 85-year-old woman who might be homeless? How can you live with yourselves? And all you folks who are complicit with them, bailiffs and marshals and sheriffs, how can you do that? Because when you step forward and say, well, that's my job, then you have just sworn in to pre-Nuremberg philosophy. Because if there's one thing we learned at Nuremberg, it was that men and women have a higher conscience as children of God and cannot simply say, I was following orders. That won't cut it when you're facing God's judgment. And it's either the gates of hell or the gates of heaven. You think about that, my friend. So when a law merchant comes before you and conducts himself honorably, you will fight tooth and nail to fight him. Well, why don't you fight tooth and nail to save that 85-year-old woman? That said, thank you for joining me. We'll see you next Saturday night, next Saturday during the day at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Take No Prisoners. And next Sunday night at 9 p.m., right here at the Republic Broadcasting Network, I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Thank you for joining me.